up, everybody? Welcome to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets, where we take our concerns and questions about Christianity and figure out how to kick him in the teeth. I'm Victor Sassano, your host. Here we go. Welcome back, everybody. It's time for part three of our purity culture series. So we talked about what purity culture isn't. We've talked about what purity culture looks like for the male. And now we're going to talk about what purity culture looks like from the women's side of things. And like we said, we're not trying to say that purity culture shouldn't exist, but I would like to rebrand it and call it a lifestyle, because the reason we're doing this whole series is because purity culture, quote unquote, in the church has been kind of, there's this stigma about the way that the church has kind of misappropriated what purity means and not really covered important topics and either called sex evil or harp too hard on the girls or harp too hard on the guys. And so we're going to try to find a balance between what it means to be pure from a biblical perspective and not go too crazy with the restrictions, but also have very serious conversations about what purity should look like and what kind of effects it can have on you if you don't. Quick aside, since I've seen it in multiple places and I'm over it, one of my Facebook friends, and this is probably why I need to stay off of Facebook, one of my Facebook friends just a couple weeks ago posted about how the church is all about little boys not hitting little girls, but they'll endorse and encourage a woman to stay in an abusive relationship with her husband. So if that has happened to you, if a church or a pastor has told you to stay in an abusive relationship because God hates divorce and that that's divorcing your husband and that you'll sin, you're going to sin and go to hell if you divorce your husband, I apologize on behalf of everybody that has said that to you, because it's wrong. It's not true. The Bible does say that in the case of infidelity, divorce is okay, and your husband or your wife, if your wife is abusing you, husbands, is being unfaithful to you by mistreating you and putting you and or your family in danger. So, and that's not something that my church or my pastors have done. So I just want to clarify that, but you need to get help and get safe. And if you are a pastor listening to this or another church person listening to this and you have a different belief on me than that, keep it to your freaking self. If you're a pastor, I cannot hurt you because you are technically God's anointed, but you'll have to deal with somebody worse than me, and that's the Lord who will hold you accountable at the end for encouraging spouses to be in an unsafe relationship. So think about that before you open your mouth again. Just a quick aside. So what is the woman's responsibility for her own purity and in regards to her quote-unquote responsibility for the purity of like males around her? Let's talk about that after the break. So a lot of what we talked about in the man's episode holds true for the women as well. And you can go back and listen to that, but I'll just summarize. Guard your heart, guard your eyes, run from sexual temptation. Romance novels that go in depth with sexual experiences, fan fiction, all that stuff, also stimulate sexual desires that can either tempt you to lust or act out sexually or lead you to do so. So if you think, oh, I don't watch porn, but I read 50 Shades of Grey, it's the same thing, okay? As far as clothing is concerned, because this whole thing kind of started with me checking out this Facebook status that a Facebook friend of mine had written or had shared about this viral thing going around with a youth pastor, a youth pastor's wife, apologizing for forcing youth group girls to not wear bikinis and to wear tankinis or one pieces instead, and how it was like just how it was this terrible thing that she had done, that she had forced those teenage girls to wear clothing that they didn't want to wear, you know, and they should have been able to wear bikinis without having to worry about dudes, without having to worry about what the dudes were thinking. So let me just give you this verse. This is from the Amplified version of Romans 14:13. Then let us not criticize one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block or source of temptation in another believer's way. This should be kind of self-explanatory, but I just wanted to show you that it does have an actual verse in the Bible, at least one, to show you that you shouldn't cause another believer to be tempted by something that they could be tempted with. But it also just kind of holds true. And something that I've mentioned before is drinking. If you know that your friend is an alcoholic and you drink alcohol, but you know that they're trying to not drink alcohol because they're trying to follow Christ and not go back into the lifestyle of being an alcoholic, then if you drink in front of them, then you're tempting them with the idea of drinking alcohol, and that's not okay. That's causing them to stumble. And God will hold you accountable if they fall for that. In the same way, it's not fair. It's not fair to put your body out there on display, if it's going to cause a man to stumble, and it will, unless he's blind. It's going to cause him to be tempted. You do need to be mindful of how of what other people are looking at. And I know that they can look away, and I know that you are probably thinking right now, well, Victor, they should be responsible. The male should be responsible for his own feelings and his own urges and his own temptations, and you are absolutely right. But you don't need to help him fail at that, for one thing. You don't need to make it harder. And secondly, only good guys are going to be able to control their gaze or control their temptations or whatever. It doesn't mean that all dudes are going to do that. The sad truth is, as long as there's evil, there's going to be this kind of evil in the world. I'm going to tell you a quick story. My wife and I were driving down, actually, we were driving back home, and we had come across the intersection. And on the intersection that we just crossed, there was a woman jogging. And I noticed her because I was trying to, like, not hit her with the car, you know. And she was fit, and she was jogging at nighttime, pitch black, in a bright green sports bra and yoga pants. So you could see her midriff, and you could see that her chest was amplified by, you could see that her chest was very able to be seen because of the bright neon green, and that she was showing some cleavage. And she was jogging at nighttime, like 9 or 10 p.m., in the middle of Charlotte, which, if you don't know, is a metropolitan area that has a lot of high crime. So even if you could make the case that she wasn't causing anybody to stumble because there was nobody around, so even if you could make a case that it was all about empowering her femininity or whatever, she's still jogging in a crime-laden, in a crime-ridden area, and is significantly exposed in a manner that a lot of dudes are going to find sexy. As a Christian married man, I had no problem looking away and not paying attention, but I knew that a lot of dudes who were predators in the area were not going to have the same reaction that I had. So you don't need to make it unsafe for yourself either. And that's the other thing, is why are you dressing that way? Are you dressing to feel sexy so that one person notices you? Or are you dressing to feel sexy for yourself? Because then you can wear it in private. You want to be careful of vanity and pride. On some level, whenever you wear those things, you look in the mirror, you try them on, you notice that you're cute, and you want to be seen. You don't wear clothes to not be noticed. You have to understand why you're wanting to wear those things, why and why you feel restricted or oppressed when you are told that you shouldn't or can't wear those things. And we'll talk about why, and we'll talk about why those things are important after that's in the Bible. All right, it's time for That's in the Bible, part of the show where we go to a Bible verse and we look at it and we realize it hasn't really been talked about very much, and so we talk about it. So we're going to look at Proverbs 21, 26b, so the second half of 21, 26. It says, extravagant giving never leads to poverty. This verse is very important for someone who feels like they can't tithe, or they can't be generous, or they can't be generous with their limited funds because they're worried that they're not going to be a good provider, or not going to have enough money to pay for food or pay the bills or whatever. You have this verse right here saying, if you are generous with your money, in the right ways, for the right reasons. I mean, we're not even talking about tithing because that's a matter of obedience. That's a command. This is like a suggestion, you know, to be extra generous. God is going to be faithful and return to you even more than what you gave. He's not going to leave you destitute because you decided to be generous to somebody And I think that's really helpful. I think it's really important to remember because you can't outgive God. Because literally, that's in the Bible. All right. So this is important because one, you're keeping yourself safe not only from outward danger, like we talked about with the Charlotte jogger lady, but also the dangers of falling to temptation. You know, when you dress provocatively, or you dress on purpose, when you dress provocatively on purpose, then especially if you're already attractive, you're already going to get stares or hit on or whatever. But now you're going to get more of it, and it's going to be harder for you to resist the temptation and not be pure. Also, you're representing yourself as a child of God. And so if you go out to the club and you're dressed in a crop top, booty shorts, and a G-string, you know, and someone sees you and they know that you're a Christian, they're going to wonder either why you're dressed like that or if you're a Christian at all. Because as a Christian, I'm not saying that you got to wear dresses and keep your hair down and not show like ankle skin. I just mean, when you dress that way, you're clearly showing that you want to be noticed and you want people to think that you're sexy in a way that isn't pure. And that can taint your testimony. Also, you're helping other people to stumble, which also doesn't help your testimony. It's not wrong to be sexy, and it's not even wrong to want to be wanted. I want my wife to want me, and my wife wants me to want her. And I do a lot. Hi, baby. But those things come from a desire for identity and intimacy, and you have to get those from the right places. And I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you verses to back that up in a second. But I want to say, if you find this topic or this episode to be kind of anti-women or whatever, you're more than welcome to listen to the episode called "God Is More of a Feminist Than You," because he is, and this is not any sort of misogynist thing. It's not me wanting to control how women dress or whether or not they have sex or whatever. It's not that. I'm trying to show you that purity, that quote unquote purity culture, might have told you to not dress a certain way, but there are legitimate reasons for it besides just that the blanket answer of the Bible says so, or a dude can't control himself. You know, because you're not responsible for every dude who can't control himself, but you are responsible to keep yourself safe and to keep yourself from being a stumbling block. But anyway, we're going to look at some verses real quick. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. 1 John 3, 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So you have that first passage that talks about the fact that you're supposed to honor God with your body. So I mean, that's clearly in black and white in scripture. It says, honor God with your body. So the way that you dress, or the way that you use your body, the way that you dance, or if you're out there having premarital sex or extramarital sex, you need to ask yourself, are you honoring God with your body? But really, you need to ask yourself why you want to do all those things. It's because you want intimacy. You want to be fulfilled. You want your identity to be secure. Either secure in yourself or secure in a partner. But your identity should be secure in God first. If you're a Christian, you were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ so that you could have a relationship with God forever. So you're worth dying for. You're worth going to hell and coming back for. And he didn't need to see you in a crop top to feel that way about you. So if the savior of the whole universe thinks that you're worth dying for, then it shouldn't matter if people think you don't dress sexy enough, whether for yourself or for somebody else, because your identity is not wrapped up in how you dress or how you look It's wrapped up in your soul. And your soul is so much more than your body. And if I talk anymore, I'm probably just going to end up talking in circles. So that's all the time we have for today.
Until then, this is Victor Sassano encouraging you to be a bolt of fresh air.